Thanks for taking some time to listen to this message on the Elevate Church podcast. We believe that God will speak to you wherever you are. Now let's prepare our hearts and hear what God has for us today.
This series, man, has been awesome, where we're exploring some maybe difficult questions that we have about the way that God operates in our life. And can I just give credit where credit is due? Last week, Pastor Will preached a great message. Come on, let's show him honor for that word. And I believe in specific praise. And so here's why I think it was great, because that's a tough subject. Talking about marriage and divorce and knowing that we know families personally, you know, and maybe even you have been down that road, but to understand God's perspective and how we honor him with our relationships, that's just huge. So that was not an easy task at all, but he did that masterfully, and I appreciate that. And in fact, before I jump into this, invites you to come back tonight if you want to. We have been talking about how we are navigating this transition of lead pastor role, and we're exploring that a little bit more tonight, putting some definition on some things, and we're still walking through it with you. And so you're invited to come back and kind of hear our heart on that. But let me just say this. You guys have been amazing. You really have. I know that everybody thinks that they have the best church. You'll talk to a pastor, you know, we got the best church. They do, until, you know, a season like this hits, until transition happens, until people can get bent out of shape. But you guys have been such a blessing and honoring throughout this whole process. You have been gracious to not only this church, but to me and my family, and supportive. And so I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for the way that you've walked through this and are walking through it with us. You guys are awesome. And most importantly, and here's a good segue, you have not allowed the enemy to get a foothold and to cause division. And what we say and declare, like, with everybody together unified, is that hell has no authority here. Hell has no foothold in this house. The devil has no division that he's gonna be allowed to accomplish inside this house. And so, we're not gonna do it. And so we thank you for the way that you've stood together with us, because here's the reality. We are in a spiritual battle. Did you know that? Like, we're at war. Turn to your neighbor right now. Say, hey, neighbor, we're at war. Now look at your other neighbor, your second choice, the one that you didn't want to talk to. Because you all have one. Say, other neighbor, we're at war. I don't know if you realize it, but we are in a battle. There is a battle right now happening in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realms. And it's a battle against light and dark, good and evil. And I know that sounds a little bit, you know, kind of Star Wars-ish, but that's the way the Bible describes it. And so we need to recognize this battle that we are in, because, like, if we are going to win, and by the way, come on, somebody, we're gonna win. Like, I've read the book, and in the end of it, we win. All we do is win, 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 no matter what. So just so you know, we're going to win. But in order for that to happen, we need to win not just the battle that's happening in the natural. And many of you are up against battles that you are feeling in the natural that could also be spiritual, but we also need to know how to win in the spiritual as well. Ephesians chapter 6, this will be our text for today, says this. Finally, this is Paul, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So guess what? Here's my confidence. I don't have to rely on my own strength. Like, I can't do this anyway. I need a different power. I need something beyond me to help me. And so here's what I can do, though. Check it out, what you can do. Put on the whole armor of God, the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil. Say that word out loud. Schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Hey, that fight that you're in, that's really not just about your spouse. That's really not just about your boss, or your employer, or that friend you have. Like, there's often more to it than what you and I even realize. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I want us to shed some light on the fact today that we're at war. There's this epic battle that is going on. You might not believe it, but you can't see it. But how many of you know, just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there? Like, I can't see the wind, but I feel its effects. I can't see the flu, but I've had it, and so I know it's real. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to engage in and prepare for this very real battle, this spiritual war that's happening. And so I want us to pray to that end as we open up God's word. And before we do, here's my very specific prayer, that God would open our eyes, because there's a story in the Old Testament of Elisha and his prophet Gehazi. It's in 1 Kings, I forget what chapter, but they're surrounded by enemy forces, and they're there, and the servant Gehazi is freaking out. He's like, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Like, we are surrounded on every side. And Elisha prays, God, would you open his eyes to see actually what's happening? Because there are more with us than are with them. And so he opened his eyes, and he saw in the spiritual realm all the angels that are working on their behalf and fighting on their behalf. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you would do that now, that you would give us supernatural eyes to see that some things in this life we're up against are way outside of our control. And God, we need to understand the battle and the fight that we are in. Otherwise, we'll be fighting the wrong enemy. And God, we want to understand better how we are to operate in this fight. So let your word, God, speak. Holy Spirit, guide us in it, convict us in it. Like, we know that that's your job, to lead us in all truth and understanding. And this is a silly thing that we do, if not dangerous, if you are not in control. And so God, I pray that you would do that and be in control of our time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Now, I'll be the first to say that I don't know everything there is to know, you know, about, you know, kind of the forces of evil working against us in spiritual warfare. I'm learning with you. I'm learning along the way. But what I do know is this, that to deny the reality of the enemy is to also deny the reliability of the scripture, because the Bible talks about him all over the place. In fact, 55 different times it talks about our spiritual adversary, the devil. Satan uses different names for him. We're gonna talk about those. And 26 of those times, it's from the mouth of Jesus himself. So how do you and I successfully navigate this life in the natural while battling the reality of an evil opposition in the spiritual? And so one of the fundamental things we wanna do, in fact, this is the ground I'm gonna cover, I'll give it to you right from the beginning, is that I wanna talk about how we discern these battles, these storms, these circumstances, the things that come against us, how we also define the enemy. Let's put a name to what he is, and then ultimately how we demolish the strongholds that are set up against us, all right? So we're gonna discern the battles, define the enemy. You can write these down if you want. You don't have to. They're not gonna be up on the screen. And then also demolish the strongholds in front of us. So first of all, let's discern the battles. We need to accurately identify and assess the enemy, because you can write this down, you cannot defeat what you cannot discern. You with me? You can't do it. You cannot rise up and resist something that you are unable to recognize and aren't sure of is even there. And so our adversary, the enemy, he will show up in unexpected ways, in unexpected places, in unexpected times in our life. And if we are not living with discernment and operating from a place of an awareness of who he is and what he does, then we will not know how to fight him. We will not know how to overcome the way he operates in our life. I'll say it this way, I can't win battles against unknown enemies. And you can't either, by the way. I'd be like, some of you just, you know, starting some static in here for no reason and fighting one another. It's like, why are you fighting? I don't know. Who are you fighting? I don't know, I'm just fighting. And that doesn't make any sense. You lose a lot of effort and energy going into a battle against an enemy that you know nothing about. So we need to know who is with us, and also, you know, who is against us. Because here's the key, when I am aware of my enemy, he will lose his advantage in my life. And when you are aware of your enemy, guess what? Man, he loses the power and the ability that he holds to infiltrate your life. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 2:11. This scripture is a great scripture to commit to your heart and your mind. It says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, For we are not unaware of his, what's that word? Schemes. There it is again. This is the same author who told us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. And here he's saying, we don't want to be outwitted by him. So we don't want to be unaware of his schemes. In other words, if I'm not aware of his schemes, then he can outwit me. He can beat me. He can have the advantage in my life. One version says this, if we are ignorant of Satan's devices, his strategies, his weapons that he has, then he has the advantage over us. It's like going into a fight against an enemy when you don't know what's in his arsenal. And when you don't know what the enemy has in his arsenal, well, you're gonna get too close to the enemy. You won't be able to keep the distance that you need to keep, you know, from your enemy, or you won't be able to know what strategy to deploy in order to defeat him. And because of that, I think many believers are derailed and distracted from their destiny because they have just been outwitted by the enemy. But I have some classified intel today, all right, for you. In fact, this message is going to self-destruct in 28 minutes and 37 seconds, just so you know. Some classified info that will help us expose the enemy and reveal him for who he is, and so that you and I can accomplish the purpose that God has for our life. And this classified info comes from Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against his schemes. It doesn't say to take your stand against his power, because your enemy certainly does have a certain degree and dimension of power, and more powerful than we are, by the way. But that's not what he says. Paul, the issue he's raising is that you and I need to be aware of and stand against his schemes. His schemes. You know what a schemer is? Write this down. A schemer is a person who is making underhanded or secret plans. That's what the enemy is. He's a schemer. And so he's planning and plotting in secret against us. In fact, our first introduction to our adversary, the enemy, is as a schemer. Look at it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other animal, any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. So he's crafty, he's sneaky, you know, he's a covert operative. He shows up in the garden, not, by the way, with a, you know, red spandex onesie on, like we all picture him, and pitchfork and horns. That's not how he shows up. How does he show up? As a snake. And if you've ever worked a garden, you are not surprised when you see snakes. So don't miss this. He will show up as if he belongs there. He will show up in your life as if, man, he's just, you know, part of the scenery, part of the background. He shows up as a snake. He is a covert operative. And if he's a covert operative and we don't know how he shows up, now we're chasing, you know, chasing shadows. We're playing shell games, trying to figure out, you know, who the real enemy is in our life. And we're saying, Satan is attacking me, when it could be God is testing you. Or we're saying God is testing me, when it's actually, right, Satan is attacking us. And if I don't have discernment, I won't know if I should submit to this lesson that God is bringing into my life or if I should oppose the enemy. Does that make sense? This is why you and I need discernment, because sometimes satanic storms, battles, struggles feel often like divine lessons. And it's hard to know the difference between the two. They feel the same. And it's only discernment that will tell me, is this development in my life or is this discipline in my life? Because sometimes, personally, I've been upset with God when it was the enemy. And there's other times I've been blaming the enemy when I should have been thanking God because he was intending to use some struggle or battle in my life to make me better and stronger. And God's saying in the moment, you might be upset right now for this season, but when you see what it's gonna produce in your life on the other side, come on somebody, you'll be thanking me in the next season for what you are crying about in this season. I wonder if anybody has a testimony in this room that can say, I'm better off because of what God brought me through. I'm stronger because of that struggle. I'm better off because of the battle that he took me through in my life. I don't know about you, I'd rather cry a little bit of that now than cry a lot later. Let me say it this way, I'd rather get knocked down in one round than to lose the fight altogether. And so we have to have discernment. Is this battle from the enemy? Is this him attacking me? Is this God? Is he going to use this? Like what is it? Otherwise, I will rebuke the wrong thing and resist the right thing. And I want to make sure of what it is. So I got to ask myself the question. And that's where we need to start to discern the storm, the struggle, this battle that you are in. Is God preparing me? Or is this Satan paralyzing me? Or is this just life? Because how many of you know, sometimes it's just life. Life happens. I mean, life happens because we live in a broken and fallen world. I can take you to John chapter 9, verse 1, where Jesus and his disciples encountered a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples asked, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents that caused this infirmity, that caused him to be born blind? Because they assumed back in this day that if anything was wrong in your life, it's because of some sin. And Jesus debunks that myth and he says, that's not what happened. He didn't sin and his family didn't sin. Now, he was not saying that he was perfect. What Jesus was saying is you cannot connect this man's imperfections to his condition. Are you with me? It wasn't because he sinned. That's not responsible for what happened to him. And Jesus didn't give an explanation. But he did say, but God's going to use it. And God's going to get glory out of it. And so I tend to think where the Bible doesn't give us clear explanation for it, hey, sometimes, guess what? It's just life. Like, I don't know why your friend got cancer. I don't know why, you know, that marriage or relationship split up. I don't know why. I mean, sometimes it's the product of a fallen and broken world. I don't know why, but God can bring healing to it, and God can bring restoration to it, and God will get glory out of it. Does that make sense? So sometimes it's just, it's life. It's just life. Other times, those battles, those storms aren't just life. It's straight up demonic. And Jesus one time got straight up radical in Mark chapter 5, where there was a man who was living, the Bible says, in the tombs of the Gerasenes, and he was filled with demon possession, and he was cutting himself, and he was crying out, you know, in the cemetery, and people would bind him up and try to keep him subdued with chains, and he would have the supernatural strength that he would break these chains. And so Jesus tells his disciples, hey, get in a boat. We're going to go to the other side. And we're gonna help this guy, right? And the disciples get in a boat. They go to the other side. If you remember the story, a storm comes while they're in this boat. And don't miss this. They were obeying Jesus, doing what Jesus called them to do, and the storm still came. See, a lot of times we think that, you know, if we're obeying Jesus, then it's going to be good. It's going to be clear sailing, you know. But if we went the other way, like Jonah, then a storm would come. But that's not what it says. And I'm telling you this because we need discernment. Because not everything's black and white. Some storms are attacks, I believe, from the enemy, because the enemy was sending this storm because it says Jesus stood up and he rebuked it. He rebuked the wind and the waves because the enemy did not want Jesus to get to the other side, which, don't miss this, Christians, some storms that are sent your way, they aren't about you. They are about who you're going to help when you get to where you're going. Does that make sense? It's not about you. Like, sometimes the enemy will do whatever he can to thwart the plans because he knows that some of you are not afraid to go into cemeteries and help dead people because that's where you used to be. He knows that some of you are not judgmental. You will use empathy to go and pick someone up that's in a place where you used to walk a mile in their shoes. Are you with me? So that's what God will do. So some storms, right, the enemy will send to prevent you from helping someone who is in need. And so we see Jesus gets to the other side with his disciples, and he gets radical, and he casts these demons out of this man. He had to identify, you know, what this was. So I need discernment to tell me what this storm is. Is this just life? Is this demonic? Is this a supernatural thing? Or is this a storm that God has allowed? There's another category, because sometimes God will allow storms. I could take you to John chapter 11 and show you Lazarus, when something that could have been prevented wasn't. When the sisters of Lazarus said, Jesus, the one that you love is sick. If you come now, you can heal him. But Jesus didn't come then, right? He waited till he was 4 days dead, and then he came. You know why he waited? Because he could trust Lazarus with trouble. See, it's one thing for God to trust you with your gifting. It's another thing when he trusts you with trouble. A lot of times, here's what we do. We say, God, can I trust you? Can I trust you? But be very careful when God flips that on you and asks, can I trust you with trouble? I think about the conversation the devil had with God about Job. Anybody remember Job? Heard of Job before? Like, dang, Job. Job lost everything. And God said, yeah, hey, he's not going to deny me. You can take everything from him. Take his wife, take his kids, take his dog, take his farm. It sounds like a country music song. Take everything from him. But he will not deny me. I think about Mary, like carrying the Messiah, you know, having the Messiah be born out of you. Like, that's a tremendous blessing. But how many of you know it was also a burden? It was also trouble in that season as well. Explain that to your fiance. Explain that to your family, that you've been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, like, it's one thing for God to get glory out of your gifting. It's another thing for him to get glory out of trouble that happens in your life. And we need that sometimes, because I don't know about you, but when I'm in trouble, I don't care what your gift is. I just want to know, is there a way out for me? When I'm in trouble, I don't care how smart you are. I just want to know, is there hope for me? Like, if you could say, Colby, I've been where you've been and God got me through it to the other side, that does more for me than any message ever could do for me. So sometimes God will trust you with that kind of trouble. So sometimes God allows it, but I need discernment. I need discernment. So I understand how the enemy is going to operate. I need the full armor of God so I can stand against the devil's schemes and know what kind of storm I'm in. So this begs the question, how do we know? Like, how do I recognize his schemes? Colby, if I gotta look for something, can you tell me what it is that I'm looking for? Because at least I know, you know, if I'm looking for the right thing, I won't blame God and I won't blame just life. I'll know that this is the enemy attacking me. Well, here is the insider information. You ready for this? The schemes of the enemy are revealed to us in the names of the enemy. And so I want to give you some names that the Bible uses to call the enemy, and it will reveal something to us about his character and the nature and the way he operates, because names in the Bible, they actually meant something. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I know today sometimes we just name kids based on whatever's cool or whatever's trendy. You know, I said a name a couple services ago, and I probably shouldn't have done that because some of you might have that child's name, so I just didn't want to do that. But names actually used to mean something in the Bible. I think of Abraham. You know, that wasn't his original name. That wasn't the name his mama gave him. His name was Abram. And he has this encounter with God. And God says, hey, you know what? I'm going to make you leave your country and your family, go to the land I'm going to show you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to create a nation of people from you. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. And so he changes his name. I think of Sarah, his wife. Like, when God told her, you're gonna give birth to a son, she laughed. You know why she laughed? Because she was 90 years old. You would laugh too. Or cry. Some of you would cry. But she was 90, and because she laughed when she gave birth to her son, she called him Isaac, because Isaac means laughter. And so I have to believe every time she called out the name of her son Isaac, on the heels of that came praise, because she remembered, man, my God is just amazing. He could do anything. I think of Abraham's grandson Jacob, whose wife was Rachel, and as Rachel was giving birth to a son as she was dying, she named her son Ben Oni, or Ben Oni, depending on however you want to pronounce it. But Ben means son, Oni means of sorrow. And so she gave birth to Ben Oni, and her husband comes in and says, what'd you name him? What are we gonna name this kid? And she says, Ben Oni, son of sorrow. He's like, that's not gonna work. Like, I'm not gonna call him son of sorrow, because every time now he hears his name, he's gonna hear, I'm a son of sorrow, and associate his name with being a son of sorrow. So, like, you know, hey, go clean your room, son of sorrow. You know, eat your dinner, son of sorrow. You know, like, whatever. And he's like, no, I'm gonna call him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Are you with me? Names mean something. And so let's look at the names of the enemy that God gives us in the Bible, because it will reveal something to us about the way he operates. We do not need to continue to fight against an unknown enemy. Here's the first one, most popular one. Ready for it? Satan. Could it be Satan? That's really old. That's really old. Ask your mom or your dad or someone old. Satan means adversary. Write that down. And what an adversary does is he opposes God. He opposes God's plans. He tries to thwart the plans of God. He is a blocker. He is a blessing blocker, a joy blocker. He wants to block the good plans that God has for your life. So as the blocker, as Satan, the adversary, he disrupts, all right? That's his goal, to disrupt. So his scheme is to disrupt. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul says, we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan did what? Say it out loud. Blocked. Now more than two of you, say it out loud. Blocked. He blocked our way, right? He wants to disrupt the direction of God in your life, which means, by the way, there are certain doors that close. That's the enemy. Straight up, it's the enemy. I know some doors, you know, we pray, God, you know, open doors that only you can open, close doors that no man, you know, can shut. God, would you do that? But there are some doors that the enemy wants to close. And that's why we need discernment. We need to know, God, is this you closing this door? Because if it's you closing this door, message received, I'm good. But if it's the devil closing this door, if it's Satan, the adversary, then I'm gonna kick that sucker in Jesus' name, right? And I'm gonna move forward. I'm gonna persevere through this. So I need to know, is this the adversary? Is he blocking me? And here's a couple questions to ask to know that for sure. Number one, does this direction that I feel God's calling me in, even though this door is closed, does it agree with God's word? Because God's will never contradict his word. Colby, should I do this? I don't know. Did you ask God? Did you seek his counsel and his word that he's already given you? Like, I don't know. Start there. God will never disagree with what he has already written to us in his word. So ask that, and then ask this question too. Will this opportunity, this door, whatever it is, will this draw me closer to God? Don't ask, is this easy? Is this the path of least resistance? No, is this going to draw me closer to God? Because how many of you know, like, great things are often found on the other side of hard roads, right? Great things are often found because you and I have persevered through. That's the way we develop muscles and grow, is by tearing something down so that we can build it back up. So ask, will this draw me closer to God? Whenever I run into something that is a disruption, I need to step back and say, God, is this you or is this the enemy? If this is the enemy, I'm going to persist. If it's you, I'm going to trust that this is not rejection from you, God, that this is simply redirection and I need to find a different way. All right, so Satan, the adversary, the disruptor. Here's the second word that we see, and that is the devil, the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, be alert and of sober mind. What do you guys think he means when he says be sober in your mind? He's meaning don't be intoxicated by anything. Because when you're intoxicated by a substance or whatever it is, you lack discernment. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Elevate Church. Let me put it this way. Let's say in your BC life, before Christ life, there probably was a time or two or 1,000 where you have been impaired and intoxicated by a substance, so you lack judgment. Does that make more sense? Right? And so that's what he's saying. He's saying your discernment can be impaired by intoxication. You can't see. You won't make good decisions. So he says, be alert and of sober mind because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking. Somebody say looking. So you need to understand this. He's constantly looking for something. He's constantly looking for your impaired judgment or something to take over, and looking for someone to devour. The word devil means, write this down, slanderer. So here's what he's looking for, someone to slander. He's looking for someone to tear down. He's looking for someone to, here's our word, discredit. The enemy loves to cause defamation of character. He is a character assassin. So he's saying, don't be intoxicated, you know, or otherwise you'll lose your judgment. You'll lose your inhibitions. You'll lose your ability to make good decisions. When you're intoxicated, you know this, if you've been down that road, you'll say stuff you shouldn't say. You'll do things that you shouldn't do. You'll go places that you shouldn't go. And because he is a slanderer, constantly looking for you to mess up so he can use something to slander you with. You need to understand God's gifts and callings in your life are off limits to the enemy. He can't touch those. And because he can't touch your gifts and callings and take those from you, you know what he wants to attack? Your credibility. Because he knows if he can discredit you, then he knows your gifting won't work. If he can take your character, if he can cause your integrity to fall, like he knows that it doesn't matter what gifts or talents or abilities that you have. So he is a slanderer. He's looking for information. Use something to discredit you, something he can spread to jeopardize any impact that you could have with your life. And this is one of the ways that he does it. His schemes is to say false things about people. His scheme is to ruin reputations. Maybe that's happened to you before and you know what that feels like. And he does all that through the vehicle of gossip, which is why, by the way, God hates it. He hates it. In fact, this is what the Bible says about gossip, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These are the things that God hates. The Bible says these are an abomination to him. It says there are six things the Lord hates. Look at these. Seven that are abomination. A proud look, a what? Lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness that speaks lies. All right, so a lying tongue, false witness that speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. I can make a good argument that three of those are things that we do with our mouth. Three of those. God says those are an abomination. God says, I hate those things. Gossip. He hates it because the devil is a liar. He's a slanderer. And so what that means is the devil will plant a seed or sow some discord about someone in your mind that before you even meet that person, because of what's been planted in your mind, you have already prejudged, predecided. This is where we get the word prejudice from. Are you telling me you don't think the enemy has had a hand in racism or had a hand in political division? Are you kidding me? This is his goal, to plant seeds so that he will sow discord, and he does it through the means of gossip and slander. And here's the way we fight against it. You ruthlessly eliminate any form of gossip from your life. As soon as someone you know is engaging in a conversation about someone with that person not there and has no answer to that conversation that you're talking about, you should feel a little bit cringy inside. I don't know. You should stop it and be like, hey, like this does not feel right. Without this person, this is slander. This is gossip because I don't know and you don't know. And the Bible says God hates it. Here's the next one, Lucifer. You've heard that term before, Lucifer. In fact, when we hear of Lucifer, and I'm gonna tell you right now, there are three angels in the Bible that actually have names. There's Michael, you've heard of Michael, the archangel. He's a warrior kind of angel. You've heard of Gabriel, who some studies say that he's also an archangel. Others call him a messenger angel because he's the one that shows up and tells Mary, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. Tells Elizabeth, you're going to give birth to John the Baptist. And so he shows up and delivers those messages. And then the third angel is Lucifer. Lucifer was an angel. He's a fallen angel, of course. You know, there was this rebellion against God in the heavenlies, and God, you know, kicked out a third of the angels and Lucifer down to the earth. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. And so a third of the angels came down with him who became demons. But another name we get for the devil, for our adversary, is Lucifer. And Lucifer means, write it down, shining one or light bringer. And 2 Corinthians 11 says this, and no wonder Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So here's his scheme. Ready for it? He disguises. He's a disguiser. So what that means, he's not going to show up ugly and nasty and scary, again, with a onesie on and horns. He's going to show up winsome, beautiful. He's going to show up and seduce you with his agenda, and you're going to think it's right because he's going to show up like an angel of light, which is precisely why we have to put on the full armor of God, because we're talking about close quarter combat. Because just because I can't see a trap doesn't mean there isn't one. And just because something looks good, come on, how many of you know, it doesn't mean it's God. Doesn't mean it's ultimately good for my life. How many of you learned that some traps, you know, have disguised themselves as opportunities? I'll say it this way. Some opportunities or traps walk around in opportunity clothes. And something that looks good, perhaps on the outside, from a distance, is ultimately not something from God. And so the way we win against Lucifer, the disguiser, is two words, wisdom and research. Seeking wise counsel, like seeking what God's word says. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Like, not everything is as it seems. If we've learned nothing from Instagram, right? Come on, people. Like, everything is not always as it seems, as it looks like it is. And so we need to make sure we understand Lucifer as a master of disguises. Here's the last one, Ben. You guys can come get ready to help me. Matthew 12:24 says this. When the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by, what's that word? Bonus points if you know a song that has that word in it. Okay, nobody gets bonus points today. That's fine. Queen, like Rhapsody, something Rhapsody, somebody said it last time. And they're like, what do I get? You don't get anything. I'm just saying, good job. Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Because when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it's only by Beelzebub. So don't miss this. They are calling Jesus, someone who is acting on behalf of the devil, Beelzebub. And these, by the way, are the religious people. These are what we would call the church people that are saying Jesus is under the influence of the devil. Beelzebub means, write it down, Lord of the flies. So you thought that was just required reading, you know, in high school. But it's more than that. This is where it started, Lord of the Flies. This was a pagan idol that was supposedly protecting people from swarms of flies. Because you got to understand, back in the day, they didn't have, like, you know, bug spray, deep woods off, you know, any kind of that stuff. So they had this idol that they believed if they worshiped and bowed down to, it would protect them from flies. Here's the thing about flies. Flies don't really hurt you, do they? But they sure can distract you. And so this is what we need to understand about Beelzebub. He is a distractor. Write that down. Write that down. And Ben, you guys can come back out. Put your notes away. He's a distractor. Satan wants to disrupt your life. The devil wants to discredit you, keep you from using your gifts. Lucifer wants to disguise himself, come as an angel of light, make us think he's one thing and maybe start to follow his directions. Beelzebub is a distractor. Because here's what I know. If the devil can't make you sin, he's all too happy to keep you distracted. And you've all been there. And you know what happens when you feel God moving in your heart or stirring you to something or to take a step of faith or whatever it is? All of a sudden, what happens? Distractions. The flies. Bzz, bzz, bzz. Hey, you could never live for Jesus. Like, who do you think you are? Bzz, bzz, bzz. Like, why do you think God wants to? It's the distractions that come and that keep you paralyzed. Because you're busy wasting all your energy and time trying to swat away flies that are annoying, but again, have no power over your life. But it's a distraction. Like, there are times in my life, I just have to ask God, is this you redirecting me, or is this the enemy? He's just distracting me, trying to take me off of my mark, trying to take me off of what you want to do in and through my life. He is a distractor. And here's what I know, even about this season that we're in as a church, and walking through some transition, you know, our heart is that we don't lose this vision and mission God has given us to reach the lost at any cost, to honestly give an invitation all the time for people to encounter Jesus, because you and I, who are in Christ, both know the hope that we have in him, that's only found in him, that he is the only way, the truth, the life, right? We know that, and we know what he's done for us, and we thank God every day for what God has brought us out of, rescued us from, and the life that he's given us. And so that is our heart, that we want to change the spiritual climate of a city. And that mission and vision will not change. But even in a season of transition, did you hear? Did you know? Listen, the enemy wants to steal, kill, destroy, do whatever he can. He's a distractor. But in not just this church, what about you? What is it that you feel like God has called you to do, but you've put on pause because you've just been too busy swatting away flies? In fact, God told me to say this. Someone here has wasted so much time and energy and resource, like doing things that don't matter, that have been nothing but distractions to keep you from what God ultimately has for your life. And that's not a prophetic thing. That could be for multiple people here. But what is it? Maybe I'm here to pose the question so you would ask yourself, like, so what is it? How do I move beyond this distraction? In fact, let's do this with the time that we have. Would you stand up? We'll close a little bit differently. We are gonna worship and sing, but with every head bowed, every eye closed right now, I want you to raise your hand if you'd say, Colby, I'm in a battle. It's either a spiritual battle, it's a situation, a circumstance, it's a storm. So many hands in this room. We're in something, God. Here we are. Like, you're doing something. I want you to be encouraged that when you sense this season in your life, it is either God, like, beginning to stir in your heart to help walk you through a season, to strengthen you on the other side, to get you to maybe finally to take that risk, whatever it is, take that leap. Maybe what God's stirring in your heart is the battle that he has been having for your heart. Because you know you haven't been falling, but you're in a battle. Here's my prayer. God, I pray in Jesus' name right now, you would reveal to us and give us discernment. Your Bible says if we ask for wisdom, we'll get it. So would you give us wisdom to discern what kind of battle this is, what kind of storm? God, is this from you? Are you allowing this? Because you're gonna grow me on the other side. You're gonna strengthen me on the other side. Is this the enemy? And if so, God, I'm gonna persevere. God, I know that the weapons formed against me shall not prosper. God, I know that greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. And so I'm gonna stand with the full armor of God surrounding me, because I'm gonna stand against the schemes of the enemy. So God, what kind of battle is this? Or is this just life? Like, there's sickness, there's brokenness, there's whatever. So God, help me understand and discern the battle that I'm in today. And help me recognize how the enemy operates by his names. Does he want to slander me? If so, God, let them say whatever they're going to say about me, but I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Do they want to discredit me? What is it? Is he trying to block you? Is there a door he's trying to close in your life? Is he being a distraction? God, I pray for breakthrough right now in this house. God, I pray that you would deliver us. I pray that the enemy would have no hold in our life. Lord, as we worship you right now, God, you would speak to our hearts in a way that only you can. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, let's sing.
Thanks for checking out this week's message on the Elevate Church podcast. We hope you really enjoyed it. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, congratulations. Welcome to the family. We would love to know about it, so please let us know by going to elevatechurch.com/yes. There will be some practical resources to help you as you start this journey. If you want to support the mission and vision of Elevate, go to elevatechurch.com/give. Thank you for living generously. We hope you enjoyed this message. Have a great week.